Some of you may recognize this quote from German poet Rainer Maria Rilke, which is often shared here at the fellowship. Have patience with everything unresolved in your heart, and try to love the questions themselves as if they were locked rooms or books written in a very foreign language. Do not search for the answers which could not be given to you now, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps then, someday, far in the future, you will gradually, without even noticing it, live your way into the answer. Our dear ministerial intern, Ruth Reinhardt, included this quote at the end of her emails, a clear indicator of who she is and also the faith she was preparing to serve as a minister. Unitarian Universalists question themselves and others, doubters and lovers of mystery, living into the answers together. And borrowing from our opening words, we are companions on journeys, challenging, encouraging, and supporting each other as we pursue a pathless quest into the heart of mystery itself. Listen again to the words from Rilke. I live my life in widening circles that reach out across the world. I may not complete this last one, but I give myself to it. I circle around God, around the primordial tower. I've been circling for thousands of years, and I still don't know. Am I a falcon, a storm, or a great song? Chris and I circled around this service for months. At times I had my doubts. Why did I ever choose this service? Together we met and discussed. I read and researched. My thoughts have often found their way this summer to our fourth source, circling around and around. I was caught up in the storm of information, drawing a huge circle around all that I didn't know and understand. And I stood outside of that circle. At times, it was overwhelming. Jewish and Christian teachings, which call us to respond to God's love by loving our neighbors as ourselves. The more I considered this source, the more my awareness grew about the complexities of this simple sentence. First, it is important to note that the golden rule, as stated in our fourth source, loving our neighbor as ourselves, is not unique to Judaism and Christianity. Love is universal, and the law of reciprocity has been expressed in many religions and cultures. Next, it's problematic to lump together the religions of Christianity and Judaism, expressed commonly in the term Judeo-Christian tradition. While there is commonality and overlap, they are distinct. Oh, I lost my place. And perhaps it would be more appropriate to draw an inclusive circle around Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and acknowledge the commonalities of monotheism and their connection to the tribal patriarch of Abraham. Perhaps we should say Jewish, Christian, and Islamic teachings, which call us to respond to God's love by loving our neighbors as ourselves. For these three religions, God is love, and love is God. But I would prefer that we acknowledge that each religion is unique, and each uniquely defines the relationship and each uniquely defines God and the relationship between God and believers, especially when we consider the horrific events in recent history. 2 world wars, the Holocaust, and 9/11. I must also remind us of the great diversity that exists within each of these great religions. There are important differences between a Mormon and a Pentecostal Christian, differences between an Orthodox and atheist Jew, differences between a Sunni and Shia Muslim, important differences that matter. Can you imagine the circles, the many circles? And in this room today, there are important differences that matter as well. We gather for many reasons, each of us making sense of our world in different ways. In this room today, it would be very easy for me to assume that we are more alike than different. It would make me feel more comfortable, at least, and it may even be true on many accounts. But for today, I will hold the assumption that our experiences with Judaism and Christianity are diverse. Religion is universal. Humans have been asking the important questions about life and its meaning throughout time, and they have uniquely answered those questions. In our deep longing for a world of justice, peace, and love, it can be easy to draw a big circle of unity and focus on the similarities of the world's religions. It is equally as easy to dismiss religion and the divine and ignore its role, negative or positive, in our individual and collective lives. Those would be easier choices. As my religious literacy improves, I'm continually amazed with the rich diversity and differences that exist. And my hopes for a better world rest on my ability to engage with differences and the other. Can you imagine these circles drawn to unify or to distinguish? Can you imagine what lies inside and outside of those circles? What can I learn from Jewish and Christian teachings? What do I know of God's love and loving our neighbors as ourselves? I give myself to and love the questions. It is my nature to be curious, to pay attention to the things that capture my imagination, to wonder about meaning and purpose. And so it was inevitable and greatly surprising, let me emphasize greatly and surprising, that I began to wonder about Christianity. And it is still surprising when I look on my bookshelves and find numerous books by Christian authors that inform me. Surprising that I even ponder a personal God. If I can fall in love with a child, a cat, a tree, a community, can I imagine falling in love with God? Even though my parents were Catholic, I essentially grew up in a non-religious home. At some point during my early teens, I realized that I had no interest in organized religion. I just couldn't reconcile the truths of traditional religion in modern life. My disinterest in religion was not exclusive to Christianity. It included all religions. Instead, I cared most about the beauty of this world and addressing the injustices and suffering of my lifetime. And yet there came a time in my life when I had to turn toward and acknowledge my growing interest in religion and my own spiritual well-being. I needed to open up to and give myself to my changing perceptions. and respond to both those things which I found resonance and dissonance. I could no longer settle on my past disdain of religion in general and Christianity in particular. I realized how little I knew and how important greater understanding would bring growth, and I'm still learning. It was early in my explorations that I repeatedly turned to the pages of Rilke's poems. It was a curious time. On one hand, I was immersing myself in non-dual teachings of Buddhism, yet drawn to the theistic expressions of a loving God. It is Rilke's poetry from his Book of Hours, and not the Bible, that has taught me the beauty of loving the divine, the creator, and the created. His poetry is about the intimacy of relationship. His poems are personal prayers. All who seek you test you, and those who find you bind you to image and gesture. I would rather sense you as the earth senses you. In my ripening ripens what you are. I need from you no tricks to prove you exist. Time, I know, is other than you. No miracles, please. Just let your laws become clearer from generation to generation. Rilke struggled with his own spiritual identity and early in life rejected the repressive aspects of Christianity and questioned the existence of God. Inspired by his love of Italian Renaissance religious art, nature, and the culture, land, and spirituality of Russia, he wrote the poems for his Book of Hours during the years of 1899 and 1903. These were deeply private poems that he shared only with a close friend and published only later in life. Joanna Macy, writer, scholar, and environmental activist, tells a story of finding the original edition of Rilke's Book of Hours in a Munich bookstore, and how it has been a treasured companion for much of her spiritual journey. In 1993, Macy worked with poet and clinical psychologist Anita Barrows to translate this work of poetry from German to English. Both Macy and Barrows, having left their childhood faith of Christianity and Judaism respectively, found great truth and beauty in Rilke's poetry and found meaningful ways to integrate his wisdom with their Buddhist practices. I highly recommend their edition, which is subtitled Love Poems to God. Rilke's words move us, call us to move outside of our circle of comfort, to find the ordinary in the sacred, to see the great pain and suffering of this world, to enter a conversation with the divine and to recognize the reciprocity between the creator and the creator. You come and go. The doors swing closed ever more gently, almost without a shudder. Of all those who move through the quiet houses, you are the quietest. We become so accustomed to you, we no longer look up when your shadow falls over the book we are reading, and it makes it glow. For all things sing you. At times we just hear them more clearer. Often when I imagine you, your wholeness cascades into many shapes. You run like a herd of luminous deer, and I am dark, I am forest. You are a wheel at which I stand, whose dark spokes sometimes catch me, revolve me nearer to the center. Then all the work I put my hand to widens from turn to turn. And it was in the work of teaching that my understanding of love was pushed and stretched, widened from student to student, year to year. The first day of school was magical. I would watch as each child would enter the classroom, enthralled with the opportunity to meet and learn about each other, each one of them during the coming year. The diversity of human expression and experience never ceased to amaze me, and I would fall in love. During the course of the year, we would build a community of caring and learning, and year after year, my heart would be broken. Broken by the nearly unimaginable suffering that some of our children endure. I am no longer a teacher, but love continues to be an important urge to my learning. God is love. Love is God. We know that the number of people who identify with religion has been and continues to decrease. And yet, in the absence of participating in a religious community, most people continue to believe in God. In recent years, the numbers haven't changed much. A majority of people, beloveds, friends, family, neighbors, our nation, and the world at large, believe in some form of God or gods. Today, many do not ask the question, is there a God? Rather, the question is, where is God found? Many do not believe in the sky-living, throne-sitting, human-judging, supernatural male power commonly found in Christianity and Judaism. Instead, it is a God more like the one experienced by the more mystical expressions of each tradition. A God that is found within and with us in this world and beyond. In this amazing age of information, there is no shortage of opportunities for learning, for expanding individual circles of understanding, information that challenges and inspires, books, workshops, lectures, podcasts, you get it. And not just information, but experiences with nature, the arts, and service that invite spiritual growth. I could have easily continued my spiritual journey from the comfort of my own world, but the call to explore included the call to be in community with others, side by side. At first, there was great relief to gather each Sunday with like-minded people. I fell in love with this community, and as the relationship has matured, I experienced the greater diversity found amongst us. This complexity is challenging and inspiring, and sometimes I wonder if it would be easier just to stay home on Sunday morning. I think this is a dilemma for many in our society today. Many continue to leave conventional churches or continue to keep their distance, having never participated in a religious community. Many, like myself, have rejected doctrines and structures that have been oppressive and hypocritical, and many find ways to engage in spiritual practices that work for social justice and personal growth within a secular context. Perhaps I should just stay at home on Sunday mornings. Instead, I continue to show up, not just on Sunday mornings, but many other days of the week. At this time, this is the best place for me to practice falling in love and being in relationship, to be challenged and inspired, to learn and grow, to listen, encourage, and honor our individual paths in the name of love. The beauty of community is sharing and witnessing our personal stories and nurturing relationships, caring and acting on behalf of the beloved, making a difference in this world, falling in love with that which is unique and unifying. Joanna Macy states that Rilke never lost his conviction in the utter reality of the world, or in our human capacity to redeem it through the act of transforming attention, which is naming or love. Together, may we share his conviction.